Welcome to Armchair HQ
Sports!
And welcome back to Armchair HQ, sponsored by Inedible Arrangements. You can find all the articles and blog posts at inediblearrangements.wordpress.com. You can also find everything on the Instagram page, the Twitter page, and the Facebook page. Go ahead and like and follow on all those things. We'll have everything pretty much pushed out on the daily.
We're having a big week.
We are having a big week. We have co-founder Andrew Dunave had a great article about Aaron Rodgers and his injury. We'll get into that a little bit later. Joe had some hockey stuff. He's got a blog post coming in a couple days.
Sort of a slice of life social blog post.
For the culture.
From our friends over the sea.
For the culture. Dunave actually has a big thing coming later this weekend. I don't want to spoil the surprise. And as always, our podcast.
The staple. I don't want to say that.
One of the staples.
Yeah.
One of the staples at this point.
For now, the For staple. Now.
So we can jump right into week six recap if you want to.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah.
All right. Jump right into week six recap. So, Thursday night game, Eagles and Panthers played. Eagles won 28-23. Cam Newton looked a little bit off in that matchup.
Carson Wentz also looked really good.
Carson Wentz is, yeah.
But he's looked good all year. And Cam Newton has looked off all year.
Carson Wentz is basically going to be like the next Alex Smith, but maybe a little bit better.
I think he's got more arm strength.
Doug Peterson's like using him, I think, a little nicer.
Yeah. I think if you just sacrifice a little bit of mobility for some arm strength, you go from Alex Smith to Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I agree. Bears and Ravens played. Bears beat them 27-24 in overtime. Mitch Trubisky got his first career win and also became only, I think, like the second rookie quarterback ever to win a game in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Which is pretty wild.
And John Fox didn't really take off the training wheels yet.
No, not yet. So just interesting to think about how much better Trubisky can get.
Yeah, that goes back to my point a couple podcasts ago about the AFC North. The mighty AFC North continues to stumble. They're now 0-2 against the Bears.
The Steelers did get a big win this week.
That's true.
It remains to be seen if it can be consistent.
That's true.
Texans smacked around the Browns, 33-17. The Browns just, somehow they've gotten worse.
They're completely hapless.
We were actually talking earlier about, like, how they definitely should just kept rolling with Kaiser. Like, Hugh Jackson even said at the beginning of the season that he knew Kaiser was a rookie and they were just gonna like roll with him and, you know, help him learn and stuff.
Yeah.
And literally like the first sign of trouble, Hugh Jackson's just like, I gotta coach for my job. Kevin Hogan's a quarterback now. And Hogan was
just as bad,
if not worse. And Hogan's also not a rookie.
Yeah, and he doesn't have the upside that Kaiser has.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I don't think anybody would deny that Kaiser has a very high ceiling. But I don't think anyone would also deny that he's very far away from reaching that.
Oh, of course. But, like, you have to let him play.
Whereas, like,
just because he had one bad game. I mean, he hasn't been great any of the games he started, but he's certainly been better than Hogan was.
Yeah, it's like, in marketing, I don't know if you've gotten this far, but there's a term for, there's, like, four quadrants. Like, high potential, high ability.
Yeah.
High potential, low ability, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So they would call DeShone Kaiser a question mark because he's got high potential.
He's currently
at low ability.
He needs to grow to become a star.
Yeah. And they'd call Kevin Hogan a dog because he's got low ability and he's got low potential.
He needs to divest.
And so, yeah, you would divest.
He needs to divest.
Whereas you would invest smartly
in
a question mark in DeShone Kaiser, which the Browns are not doing.
Hopefully Hugh Jackson can see his mistake because they're going nowhere otherwise.
Yeah.
So, I'm actually going to save the next game for last, because we were mentioning it earlier. Saints beat the Lions 52-38. Saints were up 45-10, and then the Lions came roaring back.
They came within a score, yeah.
Roaring back.
Yeah,
it was
nice pun there, bro.
Thank you. Thanks, man. It was 45-38, then the Saints scored a defensive touchdown, or the rare Saints defensive touchdown. The Saints defense played...
Well, they had three in that game.
Yeah, the Saints defense played... surprisingly very, very well in that game. I know they gave up 38 points, but they definitely were the reason that they were in the game.
Yeah. Remember last week when we told you to bet the over?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
We nailed it. We nailed that one.
I do want to read something out. This is like the Matt Stafford, like, this is, if I can find it, if I can pull it up quickly. such a Matt Stafford stat line he threw out. He was 25 for 52, so he completed less than 50% of his passes, but threw 312 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions.
Just get the ball.
That is just so Matt Stafford.
Just give the ball to Amir Abdullah.
Yeah, it's so Matt Stafford. Just keep throwing until it... Throw if it doesn't work, throw if it works. If it's working, great. If it doesn't work, hope it starts working.
Like, they have...
That's just so Matt Stafford.
Like, Amir Abdullah's good.
Yeah.
Like, Theo Riddick is good. Like, they can run it if
they only ran
the
ball 19 times. And not, like, ineffectively.
Granted, they fell behind, like, 45 to 10 in, like, an instant.
Yeah, but they also had three pick sixes or whatever.
Exactly. Dolphins put the Falcons. Dolphins won 20-17. Matt Ryan doesn't look exactly right. I don't really know what to say.
This game kind of dumbfounded me. I don't know what to say either.
The Falcons are up 17-0, right?
Yeah, and then they just kind of
stopped.
The fourth quarter Falcons strike again.
Eek.
Yeah, struck against the Bills too.
Patriots beat the Jets 24-17. The Jets lost a touchdown on some phantom officiating call, but such is life.
Yeah.
With the Patriots in the NFL.
Yeah.
Really nothing else to say about that game.
I don't want to talk about that game.
Redskins beat the 49ers 26-24. Brian Hoyer had to leave the game, so the 49ers brought in their rookie C.J. Beathard.
Beat hard.
Beat hard. Redskins outlasted him, though.
I would like to point out the 49ers have lost all six. They're 0-6, and they've lost all six games by 3 points or fewer.
Now, there's a difference between them and a team like the Browns.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think they're the only two winless teams left.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case.
But the Browns have been losing by like 20 points.
One team
game.
Is watchable.
Yeah.
And one team is not.
Yeah.
Cardinals beat the Buccaneers 38-33. Jameis Winston had to leave the game with a sprained shoulder. And Adrian Peterson renaissance has officially begun with having over what? So he had like 126, 136 yards, two touchdowns. Like it was cool to see.
Yeah. It's funny to see Palmer, Fitzgerald, and Peterson on the same team in the same offense. That's like 2009.
Like, wet dream.
All-stars, yeah.
Rams beat the Jaguars 27-17. Rams are... I can't tell if the Rams are real, and I can't tell if the Jaguars are real.
This was a surprisingly important game.
It's such a weird game because both teams are like...
The Rams are 4-2 now.
They're like... I'm doing air quotes. They're like good, and the Jaguars are good.
Yeah,
but I don't really know which one is like actually.
I think it's our expectations are so watered down for both teams due to recent history.
Yeah,
I mean the Jaguars are 3-3. The Jaguars are a 500 team right now.
Yeah,
and we're like, oh, they're a good Jaguars team, whereas they might not really be a good football team. Yeah,
that's fair.
Leonard Fournette is a real deal, though.
Oh, for sure. I got that prediction way off. Way off.
Yeah, I kind of. My prediction was three rookie running backs in the top 10, and Hunt and Fournette are easily going to be in the top 10.
But Cook was going to be your other one, and now he's done.
Cook was up there, and then the other guy pointed out was McCaffrey.
McCaffrey's getting
he's getting receiving yards, but I said rushing yards. Yeah. So.
Next one: Steelers beat the Chiefs 19-13, which was the. We mentioned it earlier, this is one of the bigger surprises of the week.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are no longer undefeated. The Steelers, coming off of a game against the Jaguars where they were atrocious.
Yeah.
But they actually are using Le'Veon Bell now.
Yeah, Bell had a good game. They, honestly, as a whole, their defense played great.
Yeah.
But they kind of had a bogus touchdown to Antonio Brown, which ended up being the difference in the game.
But you know, a touchdown is a touchdown.
Yeah, and they beat the only undefeated team left. They beat the best team in the NFL. So props to them.
Yeah,
don't want to take anything away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Smith did look off, and they limited Hunt.
Chargers beat the Raiders 17-16. Derek Carr came back from his like broken back, pretty much really really soon.
Yeah,
maybe too soon. Did not really perform to his fullest potential. Lost a team they definitely should have beaten.
Yeah.
Raiders just need to kind of get on track. Derek Carr needs to get back to being the real Derek Carr.
They need a running game is what they need.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch is not going to cut it.
Even so, you just got to... Derek Carr just needs to... I mean, everything can open up if you have a competent offense. That's not to say that Derek Carr is incompetent, but he's not playing at all at the level he was playing last year.
Yeah.
They are just totally off.
They kind of have an Amari Cooper problem on their hands, too.
Yeah.
He's vastly underproducing and having drop problems.
Yeah. He's got to pick it up.
Yeah.
Giants beat the Broncos in a big, big, big shocker. Giants beat them 23-10.
In Denver.
In Denver. Trevor Siemian had to come out for a little bit, so Brock Osweiler had to go in. Orleans Darkwah had a good game. Yep. Evan Engram had a good game for the Giants. The first game the whole season where Eli Manning wasn't constantly just being mauled.
Also the first game that Ben McAdoo was not in charge of play calling duties, offensive play calling duties.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Possible correlation there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. The game tonight that we're recording right after, Titans beat the Colts 36-22 to snap an 11-game losing streak against the Colts. We were just talking earlier. It's funny to see. So the AFC South right now, there's three teams tied for first. They're all 3-3. It's the Titans, the Jaguars, and the Texans. And the Colts are in last. For the team that was like beating up on those teams for a solid 10-15 years, it's... I mean, I'm not hoping for any teams like to like bomb out. That's never like my hope. But it's like cool. I guess it's cool to see like everything come full circle, sort of.
Yeah.
Like a team that was like dominant forever is now kind of pushed to the bottom.
Yeah.
Sorry to all the Colts fans. Such is the life. You guys had a lot of success, so yeah. Suck it up.
Success in the NFL, at least theoretically, is cyclical.
Yeah.
So the Colts have had their run, it seems.
And we're sitting here waiting.
Yeah.
It'll come.
Patriots for somehow have not. Although the day has come.
Hopefully.
Or is coming.
Coming soon.
They haven't looked very impressive this year.
No. The game I was waiting to save till the end. Vikings beat the Packers 23-10. But obviously, the big storyline being that the Packers lost Aaron Rodgers, the potential candidate for NFL MVP, playing out of his mind. The only reason the Packers were where they were.
Yep.
And honestly, the Packers probably might not even make the playoffs now.
They said minimum 8 weeks for Rodgers.
But
and you got to think if the Packers are out of playoff contention,
they just won't even
by bother. What would that make it week 15, 14? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He'll just take the season.
Yeah, it's. I heard on the radio the other day, just like somebody calling in to talk about the Packers in general, and they were saying that like some Packers fans are kind of upset with the Packers management because they feel like they haven't really like surrounded Rodgers with like a good enough supporting cast, because Rodgers is like he's aside from Tom Brady, he's the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I'd say he's better than Brady.
Okay,
but
you know it's like 1A, 1B. It's really not close, but he's only won one Super Bowl.
Yep.
Because he doesn't really have, like, I feel like it's just, like, him carrying the loads. They feel like it's him carrying the loads sometimes. And they said that, so the year that Rodgers won the Super Bowl, was that 2012?
Yes.
2012. So that year, they were a wild card team. And the only reason that they made it into the playoffs was because DeSean Jackson scored the punt return touchdown walk-off against the Giants.
2010. It's 2010.
2010. Okay, 2010. Yeah. And I, like, was totally floored by that. So, it's just, it was, like, ridiculous to think that that, like, one specific play, had that specific play not happened, Aaron Rodgers, we'd be talking about him like we'd talk about, we used to talk about Peyton Manning. Like, Aaron Rodgers would be, like, the greatest quarterback that has never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Or Dan Marino.
Like, and, yeah, Dan Marino. And, like, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because he's so, so, so good.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Well, now the NFC is just completely blown open.
Yeah, like...
Honestly, like, the Falcons have been disappointing. Like the Seahawks Eagles, have been disappointing.
Like, can the Eagles do it? That'd be ridiculous.
Maybe. I don't know. The Cowboys have been disappointing.
We'll have to see.
The Packers are missing their star quarterback. You gotta pretty much count them out.
Out, yeah.
Unless Brett Hundley pulls an Aaron Rodgers. But from what we saw Sunday, that's not the case.
Man, the Eagles could... I mean, the Eagles could...
The Eagles have to be the front runner now, but, like, can you see the Eagles being the Chiefs or the Patriots?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. So that was week 6 recap. We got a lot of positive feedback from the football simulation tournament we did a couple episodes ago, where we had a bunch of teams play one another with, you know, players with just 10-letter or longer last names, players with 5-letter or shorter last just names.
Silly gimmicks.
Some weird gimmicks. So we got the suggestion from your cousin, right?
Yes.
Yeah, from Rob's cousin to do another one, but with a certain twist, so.
Yeah, so we kind of, like, brainstormed very briefly this morning, and we wanted to expand our tournament size, include some more players, so I didn't really want to make it as complex, like building whole rosters on Madden. Yeah. So we used a website called whatofsports.com, which a little bit of free advertising for them. It's a very cool website. I suggest you check it out. You can pretty much match up any historical teams in any sports, and it'll simulate the game, stats and all. So the idea that Jake and I came up with was you get to pick a single NFL team, any NFL team in history, and you get to add one player, also any player in NFL history, to that team.
Mm-hmm.
So any team that you thought was very good but had one weakness that you could fill with, you know,
one of the
legends of the game. So we collected eight people who submitted their ideas for a team. And the eight teams we got were the 2007 Patriots, who signed Barry Sanders, and that was courtesy of my cousin Enzo. The 1990 Bills plus Randy Moss, which was a very interesting team, I thought, because theoretically they should have been able to...
Beat anybody.
I don't want spoilers. Theoretically they should have been able to...
Beat anybody.
Rack up the score there. That was courtesy of my friend JP Vance. The 2000 Ravens plus Drew Brees. I liked this one.
I liked that one, too.
This is, like, the Ray Lewis-led Ravens with... Who their quarterback... They won the Super Bowl that year, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
With...
Trent Dilfer,
yeah. I was gonna say Kerry Collins, but he was the quarterback of the Giants, who they beat. So upgraded Trent Dilfer to Drew Brees. And then they played in the first round, another 1990 Bills team, this time with Ray Lewis. So our only defensive player who got added. My team was the 2008 Steelers, and they had O.J. Simpson at running back. And my strategy was, for the memes, but also for a little bit for effectiveness. But
if only he was on the Broncos.
Yeah. If only, What if I did, like, I could have done, like, 2013 Broncos with O.J. Simpson. That would have been pretty disgusting. But anyway, I was just looking for, like, what team has a really good defense, a really good quarterback, and a really good receiving core, but needs a running back? And I picked the team with, you know, Polamalu, Harrison, Roethlisberger, Hines Ward, Santonio Holmes. Joe Dimmig, everyone's favorite, picked the 1992 Cowboys plus Shannon Sharp.
That's the real meme.
Why? I don't know. I can't explain that one.
I think Shannon Sharp caught one pass in his game.
So too, yeah. He's still... Put up a fight, though.
Yeah.
But moving on. Our last matchup, Jake picked the 1985 Bears plus Peyton Manning.
Yep.
I don't know if you want to explain that.
I mean, I picked the Bears. I thought they have the greatest defense of all time. I was deciding between them and the 2000 Ravens, but I figured that with the 85 Bears, they had more offense. They had Walter Payton still. I thought Walter Payton's better than Jamal Lewis.
Yeah.
And then I took Peyton Manning because... He had one of the greatest single seasons of all time. I took, like, the 2013 version of Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Where he threw 55 touchdowns. And I thought that it would be, perfect if I had Peyton Manning and Walter Payton plus the 85 Bears defense. That would be unstoppable.
Walter Peyton Manning.
Yeah, that got really confusing when I was reading the box score.
Yeah. And the final team, courtesy of another one of my good friends, Joe Thielman. He had the 2006 Bears, also plus Peyton Manning. And before I forget to mention, the 2000 Ravens plus Drew Brees was courtesy of Steve Paganelli. And the 1990 Bills plus Ray Lewis was courtesy of Adam
Schwartfeger,
who I'm sure you'll be hearing more of. He's a close friend of ours. Mm-hmm. We'll have him on the podcast soon enough.
He'll come on soon. He'll be you guys will love him.
Yeah.
So what happened?
Without further ado, the first round matchups... The The 2007 Patriots and Barry Sanders defeated the Bills plus Randy Moss 13-10. No thanks to really Brady or Sanders.
No, yeah.
The final score is 13-10. It was not a high-scoring game. It was more of a defensive struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Our second matchup, the 2000 Ravens plus Drew Brees defeated the 1990 Bills plus Ray Lewis 17-13. Brees played pretty well.
Yeah.
Our third matchup, which Joe is very upset about, me and OJ beat Joe and Shannon 6-3.
It was...
in overtime.
Reading the box score was painful.
It was a hideous game. Joe... So the reason Joe is ticked is because he's Joe.
Yeah.
But the underlying reason Joe is ticked is because he missed three field goals. His kicker missed three field goals in the game, any one of which would have won it for him, including, I think, one in overtime.
Yep.
But I also missed two field goals, so I didn't feel too bad. And then our final matchup, the 85 Bears and Manning versus the 06 Bears and Manning. These are random matchups, by the way.
Yeah.
I didn't purposely stack these teams against each other. The 2006 Bears and Peyton Manning won 20-17.
Yeah,
a nail biter.
It was rough.
Yeah,
it was rough. We'll regroup. We'll come back better. Come back stronger.
Yeah,
I won.
We'll probably never do this again.
Maybe, who knows?
I don't know. Maybe we'll resim it. Just
like,
for shits and giggles.
I like the simulations. I like the one we did originally. I won that one. So I guess it's only right that I got knocked out or right away.
So moving on. The semifinal matchups, Enzo's team, the Patriots and Barry Sanders, defeated the 2000 Ravens and Drew Brees, Steve's team. They beat them 17-10. These are low scoring games.
They were good games.
They're all close.
I'm glad they were close. It means everybody did a good job picking the teams.
Yeah. Well, except this game wasn't that close.
Okay.
The 2006 Bears and Peyton Manning beat the 2008 Steelers and OJ 20-6.
Yeah, I guess so.
I only scored 12 points in two games.
Yeah, I mean, you still won.
Yeah, that's true. I guess my algorithm was...
Your defense was good.
Yeah. So that set up... Well, before I get to that, the third place game, I did beat Steve's team. OJ did beat the Ravens and Drew Brees. It was like 23-17.
Nice.
I don't have the score on my bracket, but maybe it's 20-17. Because the championship, the final is 23-17 in favor of the 2007 Patriots and Barry Sanders.
It came down to the wire.
Yeah. Also, another overtime game.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots won it on a long Barry Sanders touchdown run.
So there you go, Patriots fans.
Yeah.
The 2007 Patriots did win something.
Yep, there you go. You only needed the greatest running back of all time. Second to OJ, of course. So congratulations to Enzo. First, he gave us feedback. And then he picks the winning team, and then in the very next segment we do it for it.
Check out whatifsports.com.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Recommend it.
So, without further ado.
Also, before we go on, we will be posting box scores and the final bracket for those games on ineditablearrangements.com if you want to check that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the info, all the stats. Oh, and then I also want to mention, going back to the Aaron Rodgers thing, the article that Denaif wrote was actually about Aaron Rodgers, so you can also check that out on the website. It was good. It was really in-depth. So, without further ado...
Ooh, I can't wait.
Important stats. Here we go. Let me start?
Yeah. All right.
My first one is zero. I feel like I use zero a lot, but...
I feel like you use zero every week.
I love using zero.
Yeah.
That is the... Oh, there's a...
Yeah, zero is not a sig fig, so... It's not a significant stat.
Ooh.
It's an important stat.
So, zero, that is the number of offensive touchdowns scored by the Ravens in their 27-24 overtime loss. They had two return touchdowns.
Oh, okay.
Which is super rare in the NFL nowadays.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the one was kind of janky. The guy got, like, flipped by his own player.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, and everyone
really
assumed
bizarre.
He got tackled. Yeah. All right, my first stat is five.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of a long one. This is
okay.
Kind of a summary. It's been 5 years since a 13-plus point favorite lost an NFL game. The streak was broken this week twice. The Dolphins beat the Falcons, and the Giants beat the Broncos. The last team to do so was when Kevin Cobb led the Arizona Cardinals to a 2018 victory over the Patriots in 2012.
Kevin Cobb.
Yeah.
That's the one.
I know, there's a lot to digest. Basically, there are two of the biggest upsets in NFL history this week. Wow. Two of which haven't happened in the last 5 years.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. It also shows you how these guys just don't get it wrong that much.
The odds, yeah. Yeah. It's hard to beat them. It's hard to beat Vegas. My next one, 186.
All right.
That is the number of yards that Drew Brees threw for on Sunday when they scored 52 points.
Yeah.
Mark Ingram went off. Their defense scored 3 touchdowns. Think about that. Drew Brees threw 186 yards. The Saints scored 52 points and won.
Yeah.
I bet you that has not happened the entire time Drew Brees has been in New Orleans.
I bet you the Saints... I wonder how many times the Saints have even won with Drew Brees throwing for less than 200 yards.
Right. I bet never.
I bet it's happened like once or twice.
Maybe.
In like a super rainy game.
Maybe once. But if it was, they won probably by like 1 point. Not by, you know, a handful there.
Out of those, was it 186?
Yeah.
Out of those 186 yards, 11 of them went to Michael Thomas.
There you go.
So that not only hurts my prediction, but also screwed my fantasy team. Thanks, Mike. All right, my second stat. This is another long one. It's 27.
Okay.
The number of college football players that have run for 2,000-plus yards in a season. Bryce Love is on pace for 2,376 yards. Jeez. He's already got like 1,400 through 7 games. And then the reason it's long is because I slapped down some other significant names that have crossed 2,000 yards. Barry Sanders, Melvin Gordon, Marcus Allen, Derrick Henry, LaDainian Tomlinson, Matt Forte, Ricky Williams, Ron Dane twice, the only one, Larry Johnson, Ray Rice, Tevin Coleman, and Christian McCaffrey.
Wow.
So that's like what, 15 out of the 27 there?
And nobody talks about Bryce Love.
Yeah.
If Vegas wants to make those odds a little less favorable,
I'm surprised he hasn't gotten some more Heisman love.
He was plus 330. He's been plus 330 the last couple weeks.
Oh, not 3,000, not 3,300, 330?
330, just 330, yeah. So if they want to keep it at that,
he's going to have a chance. They'll be playing
a week or two, and I'll gladly place a couple dollars on
that. I believe they play Washington. They play Notre Dame.
Washington State, maybe?
I believe they probably play Washington State. I think all three of those are in the Pac-12 North. So he'll have exposure. He'll face some good teams.
All right. My last one is 169.
Nice.
Thank you. That is the number of passing touchdowns by Ryan Fitzpatrick. Would you like to know some quarterbacks that is actually more than?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Namath?
No.
I'm gonna guess two other guys.
Okay.
Aikman?
That's one of them.
Staubach?
Yeah.
Wow.
So Ryan Fitzpatrick has 169, nice, passing touchdowns, and that is currently better than Roger Staubach, Troy Aikman, Bart Starr, and Joe Theismann.
What? Just goes to show you how much the game has changed.
All four of those guys, Super Bowl winning quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Just goes to show how much the game has changed.
Fitzpatrick has played in the playoffs, I think, with the Texans. Did he?
Maybe. I don't know.
He was never a serious Super Bowl contender, though.
No. Yeah. Could see him this Sunday. Playing against the Bills. That'd be interesting.
Amazing, yeah. My last stat, of course, is about baseball.
Mm-hmm.
91.9. On October 6th, the Cleveland Indians had a 91.9% chance of winning the ALDS.
Jeez.
When they were up 2-0 on the Yankees.
Wow.
So the Yankees had a below 10% chance to make the ALCS. And they won tonight. Obviously they did make the ALCS, and they beat the Astros tonight 8-1, so they cut the lead. Family. Yeah, cut the lead to 2-1.
Leads into some October classic talk.
Yeah, well, so, let's keep talking about baseball.
Yeah. So the Dodgers got game 2 the other night, right?
Yes, so the Dodgers are up 2-0. Right? They did not play tonight, Monday night, travel day, going back to Chicago. I'm not sure. Let me really quick look up the projected starters for tomorrow's games.
I think it's, for the Cubs, I think it's Hendricks. I think the Cubs are throwing Hendricks out there.
Yes. Well, so for the Yankees Astros, it's Sonny Gray versus Lance McCullers.
Okay.
I would be surprised if either of those guys throw more than five innings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless they're really throwing well, like Verlander was.
Did McCullers even pitch in the... I can't remember if he pitched in the DS.
Somebody...
I feel like he didn't.
Somebody on the Astros... I mean, the Astros would have had four postseason starters.
Yeah.
Maybe five. And they might not have needed all of them because they only played four games.
Right.
So, yeah, it's possible he didn't.
Because I can't... I mean... Maybe he did. I just remember him even pitching.
Yeah.
Cubs, Hendricks, right?
Cubs, Hendricks. And then for the Dodgers, it's Yu Darvish.
Oof.
So that's a good matchup.
Good matchup.
The Cubs have struggled to get their bats going, not just in this series, but in the NLDS as well.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of exploded in Game 5 thanks to some costly errors and mental mistakes by the Nationals. But again, I mean, it's hard when you face Clayton Kershaw and Rich Hill back-to-back, but they've only scored three runs in the first two games of the series.
I think they'll definitely take one of those games, Chicago, but the Dodgers are going to end up winning that, probably 4-1.
Yeah, it looks, at least at the moment, obviously baseball is as unpredictable a game as any, but it looks like the Astros and Dodgers are kind of streaking towards each other.
Hopefully the Astros can kind of finish off the Yankees, because if the Yankees explode like they did tonight...
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for anybody to stop them. But granted, it was also at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We shall see. I'd be fine with an Astros-Dodgers World Series.
Me too.
Two really, high-scoring teams with, like, three really solid starting pitchers.
Yeah.
I'd be pretty excited about
that. I really don't like the Yankees. Obviously, the Cubs are my least favorite team, being a Cardinals fan.
So just
Astros Dodgers. I just really don't want to have like
a say
in this, because like last year, obviously, I wanted the Cubs to lose.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I wanted the Royals to lose because the Royals hate the Royals and Cardinals are rivals.
I appreciate that.
3 years ago, I don't even remember. Oh, the Giants! I can't stand the Giants.
No, I want the Giants.
4 years ago, the Cardinals were in it. 5 years ago, the Giants again.
I'd like to be able to happily watch a World Series without really pull for a team.
Yeah. If it did come to the Astros Dodgers, I would be pulling for the Astros.
Yeah, I think
for the record. But I also, I'm a big Clayton Kershaw fan.
I like him to get rid of his demons.
Yeah, I would.
But I definitely am an Altuve guy.
Yeah.
I had like George Springer in fantasy when he was a rookie.
Yeah.
Verlander.
Gotta root for Verlander.
Been waiting and waiting.
Lost two World Series with the Tigers.
Dallas Keuchel last year was so bad, and he had to fight back.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool. But then the Dodgers have, Yu Darvish. He's cool. Kershaw getting rid of his demons. I love Justin Turner. I've always loved Justin Turner since he was on the Mets.
Rich Hill is a really cool story.
Yeah.
He's kind of like an organizational nobody until a couple years ago.
Oh, man. The world needs these two teams to play one another.
I know.
Come on.
I wonder what the MLB wants. Interesting, just something to point out for two reasons. The four teams left, New York, LA, Chicago, Houston. Those are the four biggest cities in the U.S.
Guys.
Yeah. And so you could point out, I'm very personally interested in TV ratings. I wrote an article a while ago comparing and contrasting the four major sports and their TV ratings. The MLB postseason has killed it.
Yeah.
Much in thanks to the fact that these big markets are watching their teams.
But I would say they need to get those Fox Sports 1 games on the Fox because...
Yeah.
We're lucky that we pay for the channel, but, like, imagine how many more people they'd be getting if it was...
It's got to be on national TV.
It's been on Fox, too. This is
it's almost always on Fox.
I don't understand. I mean, the World Series is definitely going to be on Fox.
Or at least
on, like, TBS or something. You can't have the World Series on FS1. That would be, like, just a slap in the face.
The NL is on TBS, and the AL is on FS1. And then I think the Shindig will be on Fox.
It has to be. If it's not, it'll be kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
It has to be.
But then the other side, the flip side of having the four biggest cities in the U.S., hosting the four CS teams, if you're going to put your tinfoil hat on, is that big market teams are starting to... The advantage is back. Do you know, in like the 90s and early 2000s, it was very skewed towards Boston and New York and LA.
Yeah.
And the same like eight teams were very dominant, Atlanta. And the age of like the massive like free agent spending kind of evaporated with the rise of analytics.
Yeah.
But now that everybody's using analytics, it's back to whichever teams have the most money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really if you want to look at it on the flip side of the coin, yeah, that's it's good for the MLB and possibly bad for the MLB. If that's a conclusion you want to pull,
yeah, I'll keep my hat on.
Yeah, I personally don't subscribe to that theory. I think it's still just as easy for small market teams now as
I mean I agree 5 years ago. I agree when we see like a team like the Twins making it in, but it's hard to compete with a team that can pay Kershaw, Darvish, you know, all those guys.
Yeah.
Mind you, granted that they have a bunch of like young guys in the team who aren't making as much, but
yeah,
you can still afford to pay all those people. The Yankees can afford to just bring in like Todd Frazier, just pay him a bunch of money. They can afford to bring in, you know, Sonny Gray out of nowhere. They can afford to pay CC Sabathia $25 million.
Yeah.
It's hard to lose when you have money.
Yeah. Yeah. My counterpoint to that is the Indians had the second best record in the MLB this year. I mean, obviously they're out of the playoffs now.
Yeah.
But they play in one of the smallest markets.
Still able to pay Encarnacion though.
Yeah.
I mean that's one guy. And their payroll I would have to imagine is significantly lower than the Dodgers and the Yankees.
But definitely.
You can still you can still spend wisely.
They
kind of
have Encarnacion on a bargain, and they have Kluber on a bargain, and then they're not paying Lindor and Ramirez haven't really hit arbitration yet, so they're not making a lot of money yet. They will, probably not with Cleveland. Lindor probably with Cleveland, Ramirez
probably not.
They're gonna have to pick one of those two guys.
Yeah. Hopefully it's closing statement. Please let it be the Dodgers and the Astros.
Yeah, but nevertheless, it's going to be an exciting two, 3 weeks
of
baseball.
I'm excited. That was Talking Baseball with the October Classic.
Yeah.
Hashtag Save the Win featuring Jake Hammerman, even though he's not here.
Sorry, Jay.
So let's jump into our Week 7 predictions.
All right.
First game this Thursday, Chiefs and the Raiders. Took the Chiefs.
I took the Chiefs, too.
Took the Chiefs. I think the Raiders will get it together, but I don't think it'll be against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
At least not yet.
I was mildly tempted to take the Raiders, but only because it's in Oakland.
Yeah. Bucks and the Bills on Sunday.
I did take the Bills.
I'll continue the trend of picking against them. I took the Bucks just because.
Joe just texted me. You're both nerds.
Joe Dimmick?
Yes.
Tell Joe Dimmick he can come in here and say that to our faces.
Yeah. Bizarre. He knows we're recording.
Yeah.
Whatever.
What a freak. All
right. I did say like a couple weeks ago I'd never pick the Bills again, and here I am.
I mean, I picked against them every single week.
Yeah.
So I see no reason to stop it just for the continuity.
Trust no one, not even yourself.
Exactly. Ravens and Vikings.
Vikings.
Even with... I mean, the Ravens didn't score an offensive touchdown, and the Vikings' defense is much better than the Bears' defense.
Yeah,
so,
and Case Keenum's good enough.
Also in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Jets and the Dolphins.
Dolphins.
I picked the Jets.
I don't blame you at all.
I mean, this was another like kind of push one. The Dolphins beat the Falcons, but I will not buy into the Dolphins until I see like... I don't know. I just need to see, like, Jay Ajayi be Jay Ajayi.
He had a good game this week. That's a lot of the reason why I picked him.
I don't know. I need to see some consistency from them. I need to see, like, at least two games in a row where Cutler and Ajayi have good games.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen that yet.
Yeah,
and the Jets are playing everybody
tough. We haven't seen any good games from Cutler.
Yeah. The Jets have been playing everybody tough, so I just figured why not.
Yeah.
Cardinals and the Rams.
Rams.
I picked the Cardinals.
Yeah. I'm going to put my hat in the fluke ring for the Cardinals.
For the Cardinals.
I don't think Peterson's game was a fluke. I think Palmer's game was a fluke.
As the Oklahoma guy, that's why I'm going with the Cardinals, because I think Peterson is about to run roughshod over a lot of people just because he's angry. And I think Palmer can do enough. Yeah, I completely agree that that was pretty, like, odd.
I think the Rams run defenses, because I thought the same thing. Like, Peterson's going to, they're going to run the ball with Peterson.
Yeah.
But the Rams run defense is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Minus one big run to Fournette. They handled him pretty well.
Yeah, true. True, true. Jaguars and Colts.
Jags.
Jaguars, yeah. Saints and Packers.
The Saints. This would have been such a good game.
I mean, was healthy. I definitely would have picked the Packers, but
yeah,
the Saints just scored 52 points. They're gonna be. They know they're going into a place where they probably would have lost.
Yeah.
Had number 12 been playing, and now that he's not, they are gonna be going in there with a lot of energy.
Coming off a huge win.
Yeah.
So the Packers secondary is
hurting and just not playing that great.
Yeah. Breeze might feast. Maybe my boy Michael Thomas will do something.
Get some points. Panthers and Bears.
Panthers.
Panthers are going to come back.
Their front seven's too good. The Bears, Trubisky only threw 16 passes this week. Like, the Bears have obvious commitment to the running game.
The Bears are going to have to be.
They're like running right into the Panthers' jaws.
Especially if Cam Newton gets them like, 20 points like that. Trubisky's going to have to throw like 30 passes. And I don't know if he's ready for that yet.
Yeah. Not against this defense.
Titans and Browns.
Titans.
Easy Cowboys money. And 49ers.
Cowboys,
but again, 49ers should probably keep it close.
Yeah.
Probably 3-point game, 7-point game.
Yeah.
It's in San Francisco. Oh, Santa Clara, I might add.
Oh, yeah, because they can't play because of the fires, yeah.
Yeah. Broncos and Chargers.
Broncos.
I picked the Broncos, but I actually did have to think about the Chargers.
I was tempted. Yeah. I took the Chargers last week. I've taken the Chargers the last 2 weeks, and they've... Both weeks in my Pigskin Pick'em leagues, I was the only team to pick them, and both weeks they came through for me.
They haven't played badly in any game, as far as I can recall.
They lost their first two games on missed field goals.
Yeah,
I want to say they lost their fourth game by like a point too.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right. Bengals and Steelers.
Steelers.
Yeah, I picked the Steelers as well. Seahawks and Giants.
Seahawks.
I pick the Seahawks. I'm glad to see the Giants not play like garbage, but I think the Seahawks will still beat them. Falcons and Patriots.
Patriots.
Redskins and Eagles.
Eagles.
I picked the Eagles as well. Yeah. I think the Eagles are for real.
Me too.
I really do.
Yeah.
So that was Week 7 predictions, and that was brought to you by Comfy Boys. There's nothing we hate more than wearing uncomfortable clothes and most of the time still looking stupid. The Comfy Zone is not just a place to shop for comfy clothes that also look good. It was created to blur the line between comfy and swaggy. Whether you're a boy, girl, puppy, elephant, lamp, tree, join the Comfy Boys and help us spread the word of comfiness across the universe. Welcome to your Comfy Zone. You can find them at comfy-boys.myshopify.com. Well, he just texted Rob, so we decided to drag him in here. This is the original Joe My God with Joe Dimmig. We're going to talk some hockey.
Actually, before we start hockey, can I ask you why you texted me that we're both nerds?
Because you are? Why?
I mean, you're right, but any specific reason?
I didn't really have a reason.
We're self-proclaimed nerds, but
I mean, not that I'm not a nerd in some ways, just... You're nerds. That's a typical thing from someone who says you're nerds. They really don't usually have a backup to it.
I thought you overheard me saying like Ricky Williams, Matt Forte, Ron Dane.
I overheard you talking about my team, and as per usual, I heard I don't know why or whatever for whoever I picked.
I don't know why.
I don't know because I looked at a list of players, and I even asked you or someone, you or Jake.
Was it me?
I don't remember who, but I was like, who do the 92 Colts have? Like that, like a position they need help in. Whoever I had.
Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys.
I don't remember. Yeah, see, it shows how much I care about it. Anyways. So I asked, like, what positions they lacked, and you said, like, tight end, whatever. So I picked from the list of best tight ends. Yeah, you guys care
about
football.
I cared about for a little bit, but then I stomped them. So.
It's false.
I did not stop them.
OT.
So let's talk hockey, Joe.
We're here to talk about hockey, Joe.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes, we are. Okay.
Get back on track.
Oh, my God.
So as far as happenings in hockey right now, the only things I've really kept up on in the last few days have been Sabres got their first W.
Well, let's talk about your article. You wrote a...
Oh, my predictable, unpredictable starts?
Yeah, you threw out a couple points in your article.
Yeah. Good. I'll at least start with the Sabres, since clearly I'm favored towards the Sabres. As I said, they got their first win, but at the time of that article, they had none. So it's predictable to me because it's just like their roster has talent. You can see that, but they do nothing with it. And it's just a very Buffalo start.
Yeah.
It's too early to tell how we'll do in this season, but if you can't... how many penalty kills have we failed? I think it's like five. We have like five shorthanded... We failed like five penalty kills and let in five shorthanded goals.
Well...
This season.
There's a difference between failing a penalty kill and giving up a shorthanded goal.
That's considered failure for me.
Well, if you
penalty kill is killing off a penalty without letting in a goal.
Yeah, but a shorthanded goal is when you're on the power play.
We didn't score shorthanded goals. We let in shorthanded goals.
Yeah, so we were on the power play, not the penalty kill.
I don't even remember, honestly.
Okay.
You're right. You're right. I know what you mean. No, I know what you mean. That was a brain fart. You know what? Yeah. You correct me. All right, cool.
I was just making sure you were on the same page.
No. This is a late night conversation.
It is.
Apologies, everyone. Anyways. The number's still there. The five shorthanded goals, so that's not good. Anyways.
Yeah.
Okay, on to other things. So I was talking about how I wasn't surprised by the Golden Knights start. Or I was. And the fact that an expansion team went, at the time it was like 3-0.
Yeah.
They're still, I think they only have one loss at this point, but then they also have my boy, Malcolm Subban.
Has he played?
He's my token boy.
He has played. Yeah, he got his first win.
Oh, nice!
A couple days ago.
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
So that's cool to see him up because he's taken a while to get up to the league, but he's here. And yesterday we had Justin Bailey back up and automatically making a statement.
Yeah, he's a good player, a good power speed combination.
But for some reason, he just keeps getting sent down. But I hope he's going to stick with us. Get rid of a few has-beens, like Pouliot.
Yeah. Josephson.
Pouliot's like the next Ville Leino for us. I know it's not the same, not the same contract and stuff, but it's just like a player that we bring in that just does, like a veteran player for veteran experience and does nothing.
Yeah.
So, I didn't really have anything prepared for this segment, so it's kind of off the cuff.
Yeah.
It's all good.
As is most of the episodes.
And...
We have no script.
Got to get another article going, but...
We have an outline.
We have a skeleton outline, and then we just talk.
Hey, you know, I had a few exams recently, so...
Yeah, same,
bro. I was focused on those, so I haven't really kept up on the NHL.
Same, dude!
Sorry.
I don't go to school.
School's for...
We ain't here for school.
I ain't here to play school.
Play school.
To quote Rick and Morty, what is it? School isn't for smart people or something?
It's not a place for smart people, Jerry. It's... So one on the front says 2 plus 2, so one on the back says 4.
Did we talk about...
Get a slip here to take a dump.
Did we talk about our...
Bathroom pass.
Did we talk about my football team and how they missed...
We did.
Three field goals?
We didn't get your take on it.
Lynn Elliott missing three field goals.
I didn't really care, to be honest, because you asked me randomly, you're like, do you want to make a team? So I wasn't really very invested in it, so I don't really care, but as I was watching it, I'm just like, I had three chances to go ahead before OT and win.
But one of them, yeah.
At least two of them were chances that could have won the game for me, assuming you didn't score, and I failed them all. Because I don't even know who my kicker was, but... I don't know.
It was a 92 Cowboys kicker.
My boy, Shannon, whatever, didn't come through. I just picked his name because he was on the list of top tight ends in the league, or like, all time. Or something like that, and I just picked the name because it was Shannon, and I thought it was funny. Clearly, that was a bad choice.
Yeah.
Alright.
I'm going to get you some... I'm going to throw out some teams. Give me, like, one or two sentence quick thoughts on them. Pittsburgh Penguins.
I don't even want to talk about them.
What was that?
I don't even want to talk about them. I actually haven't looked at their record so far.
They're not playing well.
If that's the same way than it was at the beginning, then my two thoughts on that are that I'm happy that they suck.
All right.
Or at least I'm happy that the fall from grace is possible here because their fan base is getting used to winning. So,
Toronto Maple Leafs.
I want to say I'm mad that they're doing well, but I'm not.
Minnesota Wild.
I'm not surprised at all that they're in the position they're in. Yeah, they got Ennis and Foligno, so that's cool, but they're not a playoff team.
Washington Capitals.
Interesting. Mm. Very interesting, because I thought that... I'm not saying that they're going to be great this year, but I thought that Ovi was on the downturn. I thought that the entire team was just kind of a flash in the pan, but they seem to be pulling... Like, they have three of the top point producers in the league. Like, the top three, as of the last time I checked.
Three more. Give me three words. Edmonton Oilers. It can be less than three words.
They are bad.
New Jersey Devils.
They are good.
I thought you were going to say Will Butcher, but anyway.
Fuck Will Butcher.
That's also three words.
Well, the Oilers are bad right now, but
that's... Hey, whoa. The hell, man? That's way more than three words.
Oh, sorry.
Cut that part. We can't let our audience hear that.
No, they want to hear it.
And last but not least, the winless Arizona Coyotes.
Well, if you see my article, hey, my quick point.
Whoa.
I'm getting to the words.
That is a lot of words.
Come on, dicks, I'm getting to the words.
You're making itself worse.
They're the Coyotes. Come I on. Know I'm using a conjunction there, but still.
Come on, dicks is also three words. Come on, dicks.
They like cum.
All right, Joe. You know what, Joe? This is good. Do you wanna sign off for us this episode?
Yeah, good. Three word sign.
Three word sign off for the seventh episode of Armchair HQ.
God is great.
Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Armchair HQ.